Yes, yes, yes. Giving all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryant, to our deacons, trustees, to the ushers, to all of you that are present here this morning. We do thank God. Amen. For yet another expression of his goodness for allowing us to come together one more time. We want to express our appreciation to the Care Portal team. Amen. Amen. Carrying out mission work on behalf of Ebenezer. And if your heart is not in it, amen, you got to get your heart into it. And when our heart is into it, then God can be in it. So we do thank God for them. And as the choir sang, I'll say yes, yes, yes. When we can reach out and help not only children, but we're helping multiple generations. When you bless the children, when you bless children generally, you're blessing three generations. And so we thank God for them and their ongoing efforts. This morning, we want to finish up a couple of things. One is the sermon series entitled Fantastic Final Four. We've been looking at the book of Acts in both Bible study and in these last 4 weeks. And we wanted to focus our attention on Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of Luke, these words are recorded. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We read into your hearing Acts chapter 2, verses 42. We ask that there be a blessing to God's word. This month, we've been focusing on that singular passage. The church scripture says that they devoted themselves. They continued to do this. After they were saved by Peter, the sermon of Peter, they continued to practice the four disciplines. They continued to learn and to study, to learn more about God. They continue to fellowship one with another. They continue the breaking of bread or celebrating communion and remembering the Lord. And on today, we want to finalize this and talk about prayer. Fantastic Final Four, and we want to focus this morning on prayer. It's no secret that prayer is an essential part of a believer's life. One need not be a scholar to know that prayer is important to believers. In fact, if you were to list a final four, you would have to include prayer. Prayer is from our childhood when our parents tried to teach us how to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul. Okay, amen. I think my mama was the only one. Before I can go to sleep, I had to say, teach young people that as you go through life, there is going to be a need for prayer. I remember in school, the grown folk was talking. They didn't allow me to express my opinion on the matter. But they were talking and they were saying how upset they were that they had taken prayer out of school. I don't know what day that was, but every day that I was in school, I was praying. I was praying in the morning. I was praying over tests. I was praying over pop quizzes. I was praying over running events. I was praying in the weight room. I was praying all over that school. I don't know when they took prayer out of school, but they never took prayer out of my heart. Amen. I don't know if I'm allowed to pray in grocery stores, but I can tell you when I go to that meat section, I start praying. I don't know when we weren't allowed to pray. I don't know if they stopped it on my job, but I would pray with my eyes open, pray while walking down the hall. I would pray in meetings, pray, because that is an essential part of what it means to be a believer. Daniel was challenged because of his prayer life. They didn't challenge him because of his work life. They didn't challenge him because of what he did on his job. They didn't challenge him because of his home association was after him because he didn't cut his grass. No, Daniel found himself in trouble because Daniel decided, I'm going to keep on praying. You're not going to tell me I cannot pray. And that got him in trouble. Amen. He prayed and they threw him in the lion's den. But what they didn't know, but there was one on the other end of the prayer line. And there was one on the other end of the prayer line. It was more than able to stop the mouths of lions. More than able to keep, to protect Daniel. He was more than able to bring Daniel out of that situation. And all of us as believers, we have the testimony that prayer changes things. If you ever tried prayer, prayer will change things. Now, when I was young, I used to think prayer can change my circumstances. I thought it always was about me. It was me. Prayer changes me. Prayer changes the way I see the world. Prayer changes my attitude. Prayer has the power to change my behavior. But I've grown a little bit since then. This wasn't my first Texas summer. I had a couple of Texas summers, and I found out that not only can God change you, but God can change your circumstances. God can change your situation. God can change your predicament. Prayer changes things because we serve a God that's able to make changes. Yes, prayer is an essential part of what it means to be a believer. I mean, if you just take the bulletin for today and check how many times we pray. If you want to know what Ebenezer is serious about, count off the number of times we pray in the worship service. We believe in prayer. Quick story, there was a small fellowship that was looking for some land, and they found some land on the outside of town. The only problem with it is that there was a bar already out there. The bar was out there because the bar couldn't be within 50 yards of a church or 50 yards of a school or 50 yards of a neighborhood. So the only land that the bar could find was outside of town. So this little church that wanted to build outside of town had to ask permission from the bar to allow them to build. And the bar was like, cool, no problem. Y'all operate on different hours than we operate. Y'all have a different clientele than we have. Not a problem. So the church built on the outside of town, and everything was going well until one business meeting, somebody started complaining about the bar. The pastor, knowing the deal that he had with the bar, didn't really want to fool with it, and so he decided, let's pray about it. So he said, first, every Wednesday we're going to come and we're going to pray about it. So they came to church and they will pray about it. Then some sisters got it within themselves that they're going to go outside and pray about it. They're going to walk around the church and pray about it. And then somebody got the idea that they're going to pass out praying flyers. So they started going out to the club and putting prayer notes all on their cars out at the club. Ultimately, the club closed down. the club had to close down. There was no more traffic, and the club owner took the church to court. He took the church to court and accused them of closing down his business with prayer. And so the judge asked him what was the deal, and he said, well, we was out there minding our own business and wasn't harming nobody until this church came out there and started praying, and now I can't get nobody to come to my club. It's their fault because of all that praying. So he turned to the church and he asked the church, what do you, and the church was like, man, we didn't have nothing to do about it. We didn't want to fool with it. We knew the deal that we had with the bar owner. All we did was pray. And the judge stood there and said, now y'all want me to make a decision between a bar owner that believe in prayer and a pastor that don't. And that is so true so often that we as believers can get so caught up in the motions of prayer. We can get so caught up in talking about prayer that we forget to think about the power in prayer. Prayer can change things because prayer can change people. There is power in prayer. When we pray, we bring God into our situation. When we pray, we open up God into our computer files. We open up God into our finances. We open up God into our itinerary. And brothers and sisters, whenever you open up God into your circumstances and situation, you are allowing Him to perform a miracle in your life. You allow Him to do something in your life that you don't even know that is possible. There is power in prayer because there is someone on the other end of that prayer. See, prayer is not just you taking your wish list to some celestial bus hop that's going to be about doing what you want. No, God ain't your Uber. God ain't your Amazon. He ain't gonna come deliver your package when you want it. No, he's God all by himself. And when we pray, we allow him to be a part of our situation. Lord, we want you to work it out. There is power in prayer. There's power in prayer because of the audience of God. And don't you know that there is no resource outside of the power of God? God can make your enemies bring you what you need. God can have your enemies delivering you your blessing. God can use anybody, anywhere, at any time. You know, God can command colds. God can command infections. God can command biology. God can command the stars in the sky. God has it all under control. Listen, when we pray, we open up our situation to an infinite knowing, all-knowing God that He can work it out. Yeah, when we pray, there is power in prayer. So much power that Jesus commands us to pray. He didn't ask us, well, whenever you get around to it, whenever you get some time, if you can carve out an hour here and there. No, he said man ought to always pray without ceasing. Reason why many of us stumble is because we don't pray enough. Amen. God can show you what's going to happen, what the future holds. Why? Because he already knows. When we pray, we allow God into our situation. We allow all of his power. We allow all of his resources. And Jesus commands us to pray. You know, the disciples saw Jesus. They ate with him, slept with him, worked with him, served with him. But they only asked him to teach them one thing. Lord, teach us to pray. Why? Because they saw that every morning he'll get up before they got up and go out and pray. Every time they had a situation, Jesus would call on the Father. Every time there was a problem, Jesus would pray and God would move in their behalf. And they went to Jesus and said, Lord, we want to learn how to pray like you pray. Because when you pray, things happen. When you pray, things change. And Jesus gave them the exact same prayer that we went over today, the Lord's model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the prayer that he taught them to pray. Why? Why? Because they wanted access to the Heavenly Father. And that's what we're gained in prayer. Even on the cross, Jesus prayed. While dying, giving up his life, dying for your sins and mine, Jesus took out the time to pray. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I'm not a part of them in that sense. That's a whole different group of them that he was praying for. But then he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this one I learned just this year. I learned this year, this past seven last sayings. This 2025, I learned on the last prayer on Jesus' lips was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And I found out that that's a childish prayer. That's a prayer that Mother Mary would have taught Jesus as a baby, as he grew up. She would have gave him the discipline to say that prayer. Into thy hands, I commend my spirit. So while dying on the cross, Jesus didn't get killed. Jesus said, I lay down my life. How did he lay it down? He laid it down by saying a bedtime prayer as he passed away. Why? Because there is power in prayer. Prayer can give you strength for the journey. Not only is there power in prayer, there is promise in prayer. The promise is of God's audience. David says, I was glad when he inclined unto me. He heard me when I cried out. You know, if you ever want to learn about prayer, you got to watch a child, a toddler. A toddler would want to get their guardian attention, whoever is in charge. And what they'll do is just start talking. Start talking, just I'm trying to get their attention. Once they get your attention, they didn't really have nothing because it was your attention that they were trying to get. And you know, there's a whole lot of church folk like that. They still pray like toddlers. They pray. They just want to get God's attention. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to hear God's command. They don't want to hear what God has for their lives. All they want to know is that God is paying attention to them. Well, let me assure you this morning, God got his eyes on you. God is watching over you. God cares for you. And because God cares for you, we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. There is promise of God's presence when we pray. When we pray individually, when we pray one-on-one, but there are also times when we pray corporately, when we have to come together and drop all the I's and put in we's. It can't just be mine. It got to be ours. You know, when I go out to dinner with folk and I ask them to pray and they say, bless my food, I say, me too, at the end of it. Mine too. You know? Yeah, I want all that they was asking for. Yeah, mine too. But we have to grow to learn how to pray with others. It's one thing to pray for yourself, but it's another to grow to the place where you are empathetic enough to pray for other people. You ain't the only one sick. You ain't the only one going through trouble. You ain't the only one having heartache. You ain't the only one having pain. When we go visit people in the hospital, there are more people than the ones we go to visit. There are others going through what you're going through. And the promise that God's presence will be there when we come together and pray. He actually said, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. I am there in the midst of them. There is a promise of his presence. But believers need to pray. Amen. I ain't recruiting atheists to pray. I ain't even worried about agnostics praying. I'm talking about those who know what prayer can do. Amen. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, the world has always been a mad place for believers. Long time ago, it was a mad place. And they was all worried. They was like us, all in distress. And so God gave them a word of advice. This is what I want y'all to do. This is my advice. This is my promise to you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. The action is pray. When we take it to the Lord in prayer. These early apostles, these early believers, they saw the value in prayer. You know, when John and Peter got thrown in jail, they didn't have no money to pay their bail. They didn't have no lawyer to go plead their case. They couldn't even write an appeal to any judge that might free them and see the injustice of this action. Note the scripture said, but the church was praying. They went to the Lord in prayer. And what did the Lord do? Without a lawyer, without bail, without a judge, without a governor, without a mayor, he sent an angel to release the apostles. The promise of prayer is that God will be there with us. We have the promise of prayer. We have the power of prayer. You know, little power, little prayer brings forth little power. Much prayer brings forth much power. Little prayer is that kind of praying, and I don't hate on nobody that does it. I just don't advise it. You know, a lot of people do it. I just don't think it's a good practice. For, you know, a lot of people wait till the last minute to start praying. Amen. They wait till it all falling apart to start praying. But I can tell you, if you ain't praying now, it's going to fall apart. If you don't get on top of it, it's already coming to loose at the seams. It's going to fall apart. Start praying now. Yeah. We all want the dying thief testimony. Amen. We want to get to heaven with the last prayer we make. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's a lot of folk go, hey, there ain't no nobody. You want to go on the dying thief plan? That's your business. I just wonder what he going to do when you get to heaven, though. Everybody gathered around talking about what they did for the Lord. Then they turned to the dying thief. Everybody talked about how they witnessed for the Lord, then they turned to the dying thief. Everybody in heaven talking about all the good things that they had done for the Lord and how the Lord had blessed them to share with others, and as others had been strengthened by their testimony, yet the dying thief had no testimony of any service rendered unto the Lord. And brothers and sisters, that's part of my problem. See, I want to show the Lord I thank him for what he done for me. I want to thank him for where he brought me from. I want to thank him for picking me up. I want to thank him for turning me around. That's why I run so hard, because I was so mean. I was so sinful. You know, I know some people, he just has to dust you off. No, he has to pick me up, turn me around. I used to sell out people. I was a sellout. Yeah, I was throw other people under the bus. When the Lord come looking for me, I'll throw somebody else under the bus. Take my brother. Don't take me. Don't take my brother. That is already a deacon. Take him, Lord. Lead me out of it. But then the Lord, he's the Lord that'll speak to you and talk to you and tell you what you need to hear to make sure you accept what he's telling you to accept. And 32 years ago, I said, yes, Lord, I'll do what you say, do. Listen, there is promise in prayer of God's presence. There is power in prayer because of God's ability. Because God is able. And let me say this for some of the smart group. God is smarter than us. You don't have to figure it all out. He's smarter than us. He can figure some of it out himself. While we go to sleep, while we eat, while we rest, while we do other things, God is a lot smarter and can figure out a lot of things a lot faster than we can. And we got to trust God. Not just in his actions, but we got to trust him in his plans. Trust him that he done thought about it. He can see around corners we can't see. He know things we don't know. There's power in prayer because God is able. Now when I read this, this changed my life. This verse right here has changed my life. He says, now unto him who is able. And this is the part that changed my life. To do immeasurably more than all we ask. We can't even measure how much more he's able to do over what we ask. We can't even imagine that. Or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. He is able to do, in the King James, it said exceedingly abundantly more than all that we ask or think. Well, once I heard that, it just set my imagination off. I can imagine anything because God is able. He's not restrained by the same restraints that hold us back. He don't have no financial restraints. He don't have no people resource restraints. He don't even have no time restraints. He don't have no strength restraints. God has no restraints, and he's able to do all that we ask over and above that which we can imagine. There is power in prayer. There was a big mama and baby girl was at the hospital. Doctor was talking about Big Daddy's life in terms of days and hours. Big mama turned to baby girl and said to baby girl, let's go to the chapel and pray. Baby girl said, Grandma, Big Mama, I don't believe in prayer. If prayer worked, Big Daddy wouldn't be sick. If prayer worked, then Big Daddy wouldn't be in this hospital. If prayer worked, the doctor wouldn't be talking about his life in terms of days and hours. And Big Mama spent on her heels. We need some more Big Mamas. We need some Big Mama that turn on their heels and tell baby girl, listen here, baby girl, you can't tell me what prayer can do. Over 50 years ago, I prayed for a good man, and God sent me that man in there. I prayed that my good man get a good job, and my good man got a job in the Air Force, and a war broke out. And I prayed that God would bring my good man home safe and sound, and he brought him home safe and sound. She said, me and that good man in there done paid for 3 houses. We done sent 6 kids to school. We done sent kid paid for 3 marriages. We are currently praying for your piano lessons. Don't tell me what prayer can't do. Amen. Amen. I get that from time to time. You'd be surprised how many people would challenge a preacher about prayer. Man, Rev, you ought to get your people together and go vote. I said, nah, I'm going to get my people together and pray. Pray, that's all you're going to do? Yeah, that's all I'm going to pray about. I'm going to give it over to the Lord and watch him work it out. I serve him. If he going to work it out, he'll use me. If he working it out, he'll use us. He'll use the disciples that gave it. But the power is in him. In our ability to let go and let God. There is promise in prayer. There is power in prayer. But then there is peace in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Now hear this, hear this. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Everything to God. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. There was a farmer, he hired a helper, somebody, a field hand, somebody to help him around the place. And he asked the young man, you know, what was his qualification? And the young man said, I can sleep in a storm. And so the farmer like, okay, that makes sense, I guess. So, and so he let the guy, and he was a hard worker. He was all on top of it. He was always dutiful, on time, really great worker. And the farmer fell in love with him, enjoyed him. And one night he was in bed sleeping, and he heard thunder and lightning outside. And he woke up by the storm, and he said, well, let me go check on that farmhand. He went and checked on the farmhand, and he was in there sound asleep. And so the farmer said, well, let me go check around the place. And he checked on the barn. The barn was locked in, all locked and secured. All the animals was in the barn. There was hay for all of the animals. That was all locked. All of the tools was locked up in the tool shed, locked up and secured. Everything was tied down and secure in preparation for the storm. Next morning, the farmer asked the young man, what do you mean? I understand now what you mean that you can sleep in the storm. Why? Because you did your preparation before the storm. So many of us, we forfeit our peace because we don't do our prayer preparation before the storm. Listen, if you got kids, there's a storm coming somehow, some way. It's coming. They're going to do something that you didn't expect. They're going to do something. And you got to stay, you got to start praying now. You know, so many people use prayer like a 911. Yeah, it is. You can call God in a time of emergency. You should call him if you, Peter, and you done stepped out on the waters and you're starting to sink. Yes, call on the Lord. He is the on-time God. God is quicker than fast. God can get to you right now. God is able. But there's so much peace that we forfeit because we don't pray. We don't pray ahead of time. We don't pray before time. We don't pray, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Is this what you would have for me? Is this the best? Even if I didn't ask for it, even if I don't like it, Lord, is this what you're doing? Pray about it. Now, God don't always answer prayers that you want like you want. I don't want to give nobody no illusions here. I remember when I first got into ministry, you know, I thought I was smarter than the average bear, and so I'm going to craft me a whole new prayer. I heard of Solomon praying for wisdom, and I said, well, I'm going to start there, because that seems neat, that he could just pray and wake up the next morning with wisdom. So I said, man, I do like that. That part I do like. I said so, but I'm going to expand mine, because I don't want God to think I'm just copycatting off of Solomon's prayer. I want them to see that I just copied and duplicated Solomon's prayer, so I'm going to tweak it a little bit. And so I prayed, I said, Lord, bless me with knowledge and wisdom to use that knowledge wisely. Amen. And then that next week, I got admitted into Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. And I was like, no, that ain't what I was talking about. You misheard me. That was not what I was asking. I have to go back and look at Solomon. I was like, Solomon didn't go to no seminary. Why I gotta go to seminary? He don't answer it the way you want him to. But I am so glad today that he is still answering that prayer. I wanted him to answer it by the time I woke up the next morning. I wanted to wake up with a head full of knowledge and a heart full of wisdom and knowing how to use it. But God answered the prayer, but he didn't answer it the way I wanted him to. And brothers and sisters, you can't get mad at God for answering your prayer the way that he wanted to, and it wasn't the way that you wanted to. You got to always give God the license to move in the way that he sees fit. And when we give God the license to move and answer the prayer the way he sees fit, you will be blessed for it. Not only will you be blessed, your circle will be blessed for it. There is peace in prayer. You don't have to worry yourself with some of these problems you can't solve anyway. You can't worry yourself. Go to sleep at night. Amen. Trouble will be there the next morning when you get up. The government still will be in a mess. Amen. Amen. Go on and get some sleep at night. Stop worrying yourself to death. There is a peace in prayer. This early church was built not because they was able to get government contracts. They were built not because they had a popular opinion. They were built not because everybody was a friend and everybody was cheering them on. In fact, it was quite the opposite. They had very few resources. They had no real political power or community power. They didn't even really have religious power. The Jews and the other religions had all the power. But what they had was prayer. And they prayed. I remember Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King sharing that in the midst of the struggle, he wanted to give up. He wanted to throw in the towel. He'd already made up in his mind that he was going to do it. All he was asking God for was an excuse. He wasn't asking God to change his situation. He wasn't asking God to make it sweet again. He was asking God for a reason to tell the people that I'm getting out of it. And so he went to the Lord in prayer. He says over a cup of coffee at midnight, he prayed unto the Lord how hard it was, how the burden was burdensome, how difficult it was. And what he heard that night at the table was the Lord answer his prayer. The Lord told him to keep fighting. Fight on. And Martin got up from that table and continued the struggle. Brothers and sisters, there is power in prayer. There is peace in prayer. And there is promise in prayer, all because it is attached to God. Because it is something that he gave us so that we can stay in communication with him. I don't have to pray a T-Mobile to call on God. I don't need no app. I don't need no cell phone. I don't need no landline. I can call on the Lord. There is power. There is peace. And there is promise in prayer. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. As the deacon, the urchins, and greeters come, we want to invite you to come to the Lord. And if you're watching us online, we ask that you put a word in the comment, email, the church. We want to respond. This is the moment. You have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And to our college students today, we want them to know that we have watch care here. If you want to come to Ebenezer under watch care, we invite you at this time. Will you come? Will you come?